You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Today's episode of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is brought to you by Peloton.
Something that we did not talk about yesterday, and I wanted to talk with Jeremy and Mike about today, is that on Sunday, in what felt like as close as you can feel during this point in an NBA season that has had a lot of people sitting and load management and has rendered the regular season less interesting than it has ever been. The Miami Heat lose to the Pacers in a game the Miami Heat really needed to avoid the play-in game. Now the Pacers are ahead of them for the sixth seed. The Pacers win by a couple of points. And we are hoping in Miami for something that felt like last year, not just with the Heat, but with the Panthers, where the playoffs sweep in and our April and May promised June. And it being a scenario that nearly killed Greg Cody last year, the amount that he was working as a print journalist, he was getting very tired. By the end of that run,
it was a lot, man.
He was falling apart.
Yes, that's fair.
You were hurting.
Yeah, it was a drain. It was draining, more emotionally than physically, because I wasn't going on the road. I would cover the road games off TV, but a lot of home games, and both of them were making deep runs, unexpected runs, Cinderella quality to both, and it was spectacular, you know, but draining. You're right.
And now people are expecting Stu Gatz. And this part is interesting to me because I have heard Celtic fans all year until recently fear the Heat again. And it's just haunted from last year. And I just don't think that what happened last year is something that you can bet on happening as a probability. I don't. You can hope for it, but I don't think because you saw it last year, you can come to expect it as being probable to happen. It's really unlikely that the Miami Heat will be able to summon anything in the playoffs that resembles what last year resembled. But the top of the conference, Stugatz, outside of Boston,
right,
couldn't possibly look any more vulnerable. It's so strange to see that evidently, and this part, I'm wrong all the time, but man, do I regret my initial analysis of the Milwaukee Bucks getting Drew Holiday. Because evidently, he's somebody who matters a great deal. I'm always mocking
the Celtics.
Yeah,
I am.
But he means saying, the Bucks the first time around.
I'm saying the very first time when Drew Holiday was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm always making fun of you guys about the trade deadline because a lot of people get traded and you guys get all excited about the transactions, and rarely are they things that actually move the needle and shift a championship. But the difference between Boston this year and last year is neither Tatum nor Brown. That's not the difference. The difference in that team, the reason that team is overwhelming, the reason I don't believe that I would bet against the field. I don't think I would bet on the field to beat that team. I think even though that's a value bet to say the Celtics will not win the championship, they've been so overwhelming this year. I think their point differential is double digits. That every time I look up,
11.6.
They're winning by 17 points against whoever it is that they're playing. They've lost, like, first of all, if you beat them right now, in order to beat them in the playoffs, you have to beat them on their floor. And they've lost three times all year on their floor.
35-3.
Porzingis is probably the bigger impact thing. And to be fair,
Derek White's been great. Mike,
I don't think he was a great acquisition from a couple of years ago. I think there's a lot of deadline deals that impact teams. But I think that what Boston is afraid of isn't just last year. Even though they won the previous matchup in the playoffs, it was going to seven with them before. It was inside the bubble, Bam blocking a shot early in that series and setting a tone. It was the ghost of LeBron James in an elimination game having that look to his eye while we're all scared with bubble guts. Miami's just gotten the better of that franchise since Miami came along.
I'm done doubting Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm done doing it. I doubted him a couple of times. He's made it to the finals a couple of times. I'm not going
to
do it
again. He's earned that, right. And it speaks to how great he's been in the postseason for me to kind of agree
it's
with
been
him.
Amazing.
Because if we're just looking at this from a treetop view, Jimmy's not the same player. The thing that we all feared that was coming, I think, is approaching, if it's not already here. And it might have begun with that Denver series where he had earned a total pass for his performance there. He was super passive. It was shades of LeBron against the Mavs. He didn't really have faith in his shot until it was already too late in that series. And now he's going up against teams that are built similarly. And there's this weird passiveness. And you have someone that will be taking the shots instead of him. And you're just wondering what happened to the Jimmy buckets that I loved.
Dan made a good point about the Eastern Conference at the moment, though, because I have a greater fear for the Heat in a one-game sample against the Hawks or the Bulls if they lose the first play-in game than I will in a seven-game series against anyone except for maybe Boston. And even then, if you told me one game against Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, and the Hawks, or seven games against Boston, I might have the same sort of feeling, because when you have the best coach in the league and you have a guy who's proven it over and over again in the postseason, the one thing you could take away from that game against Indiana, despite the loss, is once again with the Heat coming out flat. They came out flat in three straight games. They got blown out of the building in the first 12 minutes against Philadelphia and had to claw their way back over and over with runs, had a lead late in that game and blew it with another stretch of poor performing offense. Came out flat against the Rockets on the second night of back-to-backs and somehow were able to claw their way back and win. Against Indiana, same thing. But that time, it was Jimmy Butler turning it on in the second half, getting to the line over and over and over and over again in that third quarter, slowing down a fast-paced Indiana team and showing you, hey, for at least a series, I can be the guy that puts the team on my back. And when you look at last year's run, that's actually all that happened.
That wasn't a series.
He did it for
wait
one.
A minute.
No, he did it for one series.
Wait. They needed it for a game against Indiana. They got it for a quarter. Now you're asking for it for a series. For the last five or six games, Jimmy Butler needs to get a ton of foul calls, needs to allow the Heat defense to set up and be an elite playoff defense. And when this is Jimmy time, he announced it's Jimmy time already. Josh Hart says no more side quests. April is about the main quest. He's putting up a lot of under 20-point games, and they needed him in that one. That was a playoff game. You don't want to be in the play-in game? Then you got to win the one against Indiana so you can have the tiebreakers. And then afterward, we're going to Jimmy's locker, and he's saying, well, we got to do it the hard way again. When do we ever do it the easy way? Well, you could have done it an easier way by winning that one, and I just don't think that you can continue to ask. And I understand, Stugatz, why it is that you're saying, I'm done doubting Jimmy Butler. But at this age, with this many fouls on his body, landing on the floor this many times, at some point, that's going to run out, and what it's going to look like is like this season.
Of course, but it's also the same conversation we had last year, and I'm not saying that at 34 years old with another year running to the NBA Finals that his body's not in a different place than it was a year ago, but against Indiana, they started 0 of 8 from 3, while Indiana started 5 of 7 from 3, and that's why they got blown out in that first quarter, and they had to claw their way back. It's a similar conversation to what we had last year, which is when this team hits their threes, they're tremendous offensively and have an opportunity. They're the fourth best defensive team in the league. They've had one of the best defensive ratings since the turn of the calendar year, specifically since February. And look, is it entirely possible that they lose two play-in games and they're out, or that they lose a first-round series and they're out? And I'm having to eat crow saying, you know what? Yeah, Jimmy looks a step slower and this team wasn't built properly, etc. Sure. But on the same token, you look at that Eastern Conference, and in a seven-game series against any of those teams with all the different weapons that the Heat do have to shut them down, I'm not ready to give up quite yet.
You won't be until they've lost. We know this about you.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's unearned.
You will not.
That's all of Heat Twitter.
No, but that's not unearned. Like, when you look at this team and what they've been, they have the most playoff wins of any core of the last 4 years. That's not by mistake.
I'm not saying it's unearned. I'm saying that the moment that they lose, you will have been wrong because you will never think that they will lose.
I'm happy to be wrong about something when I'm looking at a team and seeing what their entire season has been, seeing what the acquisitions have been and the way that they've been effective. Tyler Hero's come back and been really good offensively.
You are not happy to be wrong.
I'm fine. I will happily sit here and miserable. Say, yeah, I was wrong about this team. But as I look at it exactly the same way as last year, there's a four-game difference between the 3 seed and the 8 seed. Like, it's not crazy to think that not only Miami, Philadelphia could make a really deep run into the postseason.
I genuinely want to be wrong about the Heat the way that I was spectacularly wrong about them last year. I think you're asking a lot and you're putting a lot of faith in a team that just hasn't shown it this year. Even last year, there were moments where you think like, oh, if this team can put it all together, Milwaukee certainly doesn't want to play them. I just think that look, the proof is in the pudding. Anytime they've gone up against a good team that is reasonably healthy, they lose. They lose. They have shown you there's about six teams in that Eastern Conference that they're not better than. And I don't see them magically getting better than them, even though they've shown us in recent history that they can do something unprecedented. You're asking a lot for history to repeat itself.
I don't agree with this part of it, okay? They've been unhealthy. They've used a lot of different lineups. And the difference between 3 and 7 and 8 is enough that I don't believe there are that many teams in the conference that are better than them as a playoff team with their coach making 7 games worth of adjustments against a single opponent. I don't believe there are 6 or 7 teams better than them in this conference. But there's one that clearly is. That Boston team is better than the Milwaukee team that they needed Giannis to get hurt in the middle of that series to beat last year.
And they were going to beat the Bucks whether Giannis was healthy or not. They were already up 2-1.
Jeremy, that's fine to say, but Giannis did indeed get hurt in the middle of that series.
Did he play?
Missed a game.
Yeah, and Jimmy missed games against the Knicks. Like,
missing games against the Knicks did not affect the Bucks series.
No, but I'm saying that Giannis missing games didn't affect it the same way that you're making it now. Revision.
Stop being a homer, bro.
Looking at the Heat right now, sitting at number 15. Bronny's probably still going to be there.
This is such a frustrating season for the Heat because fourth place is 16 games out. They're so close to having home court advantage. in the first round, and instead they're in play-in purgatory because of losses like Sunday's game where they blow a big lead, a game they had to have. Crazy, crazy frustrating team.
If the Heat scored 8 more points in the last two games against Philadelphia and Indiana, 8 points, they're a game out of the third seed, and we're having an entirely different conversation.
If the Bucks don't fall apart in Game 5 when Giannis is healthy, you'd be shitting yourself with Milwaukee having to play the rest of that series against a healthy Giannis.
I want the 8 seed. I want the Celtics right away. I do.
Take them out early.
Yeah, before they get in a roll. I want them right away.
Who's I?
I mean, I don't know.
You're a Knicks guy.
Yeah.
And if I lived in New York, I would have been able to see more of the eclipse, by the way.
Yes.
Lots of ifs going around. Also, Mike, you said the proof is in the pudding. I thought pudding was buried in the backyard, Greg.
He is. God rest his soul. I believe he is. I don't remember where because it's been so long ago. But and the shoebox by now has long disintegrated as well as its contents. But
this is the new and unimproved Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats. Gamble on by DraftKings.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Is there back in my day?
There is, actually.
What? Were you not going to tell anyone?
What?
Wait a minute.
You guys. Guys. It's a Tuesday.
Stugats. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Okay, here it is. Sorry. Adultery.
Wait a minute.
Waiting for this one.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Ron McGill joins us now from a new setting, different than the usual office that he joins us from. He's wearing some of the sharper clothes that he has purchased with money embezzled from the endowment that you give so generously.
Allegedly.
To, it is the only charity we're involved with. Ron McGill is perpetually working without bureaucracy to help the animals. And if you want to do so, his endowment, his substantive endowment, is very easy to give to. And we urge you to do so. You were flown to New York, as you often are, to Good Morning America, and I believe they were asking you how it is that animals would react to the eclipse. How often do you fly up for in-person Good Morning America visits with animal news? How often have you done that over the years?
Over the years, a handful of times they fly me up. Now everything's pretty much Zoom. I mean, I'm on Zoom several times a year. I was surprised they wanted to fly me up for this thing, but they said, no, we want you in studio. So flew up in studio. I mean, these folks will drop a lot of money to fly me up there, put me up in a hotel, give me a limousine and 2 minutes on the air. It's amazing to me.
A limousine?
Yeah, it was a limo. The limo picks me up at the airport. I have a driver available to me the whole time with a nice, I didn't even know Volvo made limos. You know, there's a Volvo limo.
I did not put it on the poll, Juju. Wow. Did you know that Volvo made limos? Yeah. Does anyone treat you as well in television as Good Morning America does? An old-style morning television show. Back when those things had all the money in the world, and Good Morning America still does have all the money in the world.
They treat me pretty well. Univision's also very good to me. Telemundo. You know, they're all very good to me. But as far as, you know, flying me up to these locations, Good Morning America is certainly the top of the game.
Do you have any demands?
I don't have any demands.
What's in your green room?
Big mistake. Yeah. I mean,
no, they put me in the green room. I shared the green room today or yesterday with Ray. You know, they have a new mascot now. He's called Ray. He's a big sunshine, really nice guy. And I got to talk to him. I didn't realize he's good friends with, you know, the original Bernie West Leckhart, the original Lockhart, the original Billy, you know, John Ruth. All these guys are really.
You're talking like about the mascots, the local mascots here, the Billy the Marlin, Bernie the mascot. Right. So were you sitting in a green room with someone dressed as the Sun?
Yeah. Yeah, I took a picture with him. I'll send it to you guys.
Is it hard to sit when you're wearing a costume of the Sun? I imagine that it's circular.
Yeah, it's circular, and you know, the guy's really good at it. I mean, he doesn't put that, you know, the head on until the last minute, but he's really good at it, and a great guy. You know, that takes a very special personality to wear those outfits.
Ron, flying up on airplanes, taking limousines to talk about the environment, makes me wonder which animals are most endangered of being extinct because of your carbon footprint.
Good question.
Oh, Billy.
We'll answer it.
Oh, refuse to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, it is contributing to the carbon footprint. I will say that. But hopefully the message that I'm getting across and trying to get people to understand little animals helps them in everyday things. You know, what you purchase.
Why are you answering his question? Like, he can't
we
even.
We badgered him.
He's had a hard time question. The first hour of this show hiding the laughter of the chaos he's trying to cause behind a hand.
I got to credit Billy. It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. I wish I could go up on an electric airplane. I wish I could, you know. I don't eat fancy dinners. I don't try to, you know, I don't buy bottled water. I try not to stay away from plastics. I try my best in other ways. But for now, the only way to get there is on a plane.
It's great, Billy.
And in all fairness, the Volvo limo probably doesn't take as much gas as, you know, the Lincolns and the Cadillacs.
Ron, at any point in the studio, was there an eclipse of the Sun mascot?
Oh, for the love of God. Go sit in the penalty box.
No, I'm just curious.
Go sit.
another question he didn't answer.
There he is. That's right. He's got him. That's right.
2 minutes for an eclipse joke.
Yeah. You're going to miss out on the great question I had for Ron.
That's too
bad. Bonnie Raitt was interviewed about her song, Eclipse of the Sun.
Can you tell me what it is that your most interesting observations were about how the animals react to the eclipse? Was this worth the amount of money that Good Morning America spent to have your insight in studio?
Well, like I told them, most animals don't react at all. And the reaction really is minimal when you see it. You know, the way I try to explain it, it's like a short-term jet lag for them. You know, if you ever go on a plane, you fly on the other side of the world, and your body clock tells you it's supposed to be 2 o'clock in the morning, or let's say 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you get out of the plane, there's bright sunshine, your body's a little out of whack. So what it does to some animals, it confuses them a little bit, but it's not something like, it's not this apocalypse, like as soon as the total eclipse, all the bats come flying out of the cave, you know, and all the nocturnal animals start flying. No, it's not what happens. And there's just not a lot of data. You got to understand this. This is a very infrequent occurrence. When it happens, it's just a few minutes. People say, oh, you know, I saw the tortoises mating during the eclipse, so the eclipse must have made them mate. But they failed to say, well, yeah, 2 hours before they were mating and 3 hours after they were mating too. So it might just be coincidence. It's hard to get that data to say it was the eclipse that caused this. Now, having said that, I've seen during an eclipse where birds will stop flying. They'll go down and they'll roost in the trees and they kind of become quiet. You know, I have seen on a total eclipse where all of a sudden, if you're in a wooded area, you'll start hearing crickets start calling. You'll see fireflies will actually start illuminating. But it's temporary. As soon as the sun comes back out, everybody stops and everybody goes back to normal. No long-term damage.
All of us had the same reaction that you did. All of us had the same reaction to what it is that you were saying there. Good Morning America flew you up there to say it doesn't have much an effect in the animals and we don't have very much data
no
on what it does to
anything,
the animals. Like where? What
and,
did they not talk to you before flying you up?
They did talk to me, but that's what I like about Good Morning America. They don't force me to sensationalize things. Okay, that they give me a strong platform to make people understand, listen, a lot of this isn't as sensationalized as people want it to be. Yes, there are some changes. There are some things you could do with your pets. For instance, I told people, you know, keep your pets inside, turn on the lights, turn on the music. It keeps them calm because there could be a little anxiety associated with animals when this happens, but not any more anxiety than, let's say, when there's a big storm coming. A big storm comes, can block out the sun, becomes dark, becomes colder. Animals get a little tense with that. But again, this is just a few minutes. What are you doing, Cody? What is going on there?
No, don't pay any attention to them. This is the part that I want to ask you, though, and I want an honest answer from you. In the pre-interview, when you told them, I don't have anything that's interesting, did they say you're going to need to jazz that up a little bit? Or in the pre-interview, did you know you didn't have anything, but you want the limo and the trip to New York?
Great question. So you then
jazzed it up a little bit and told them, well, I can talk about that. I'll give you 2 minutes of magic.
No, I gave her exactly what I just told you. And she said, that's great. You know, they just wanted the facts. And listen, I think it's really important. We sensationalize too much of this stuff. We try to make mountains out of molehills. Yes, there are probably some behavioral changes. And I'm sure some zoos, a lot of scientists are out there taking a lot of notes and doing a lot of research on these animals during this eclipse. So maybe we learned something. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a lot of animals did change their behaviors. My gut tells me that's probably not going to happen. I was allowed to be honest on the show, and hopefully people learn that. You know, people just understood what it is, and I could draw that analogy to like a jet lag, and people love that analogy. They say, oh, you know, I can relate to that. Yeah, I get off a plane, and I feel like I should be asleep. Yeah, it's sunny outside, and you kind of readjust, but if it becomes dark 5 minutes after that, you go to sleep, and it's not a problem.
I'm with Dan on this. It's a lot of money to spend for a couple of facts. I mean,
well, you wouldn't spend any money for any facts.
Never.
You are allergic to all forms of facts. Let's play some video here for Ron McGill. I've got, this is not uncommon for some reason in Florida. We've got an alligator inside an 18-foot-long Burmese python.
It was captured
here in Florida. The researchers cut open its belly and they found in an 18-foot-long Burmese python a 5-foot-long alligator inside. This seems crazy to me. Ron, you're unsurprised.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, that's a 5-foot alligator is not that large. That's a pretty large python. An alligator is pretty long and cylindrical in shape, so it's pretty easy to swallow. This is an ongoing...
The miracle of childbirth right now on the screen.
Yeah, well, kind of that way. You know, these snakes can open their mouths up to 3 times the diameter of the fattest part of their body, which enables them to swallow some massive animals. You know, I've seen some big... An anaconda swallow a small cow. I mean, think about this, a small flipping cow. So these animals are well accustomed to doing that. When they eat an animal that large, they can go weeks, even months without having to eat again. So snakes are very capable of doing that. But on the flip side, you know, they don't show you the shots of the alligators eating the pythons, too. These are the new eternal enemies of the Everglades, the, you know, apex predators that are eating each other. But, you know, I wouldn't look at it as like, oh, my gosh, the pythons are eating all the alligators. That's not the case.
Can a python break down an alligator that size? Like it can actually digest it and break it down and get through like the crocodile's scales or skin or whatever it's called?
Absolutely. The enzymes, the stomach enzymes of these reptiles are incredibly strong. They can burn down a lot. You know, they'll pass out things. What they usually don't break down is a lot of hair. So since alligators don't have a lot of hair, they don't have to worry about that. And there'll probably be some of the bones, the scutes and the skin, that may still come out, but they'll utilize most of that animal and get some good nutrition out of it.
Is there any, thing that can be eaten here so gluttonously? Because I'm surprised how intact the alligator looks inside of the python. It hasn't been digested at all. I expect something to be masticated. I expect something to be in bits and pieces. This looks like a freshly encased alligator. Is there anything that a snake could eat so gluttonously that it will then die because it's overeaten?
Rarely will it die because of it, but often they will regurgitate if it's overeaten. That is something that commonly happens. Death occurs if they, you know, they swallow the animal the wrong way and there's a perforation in the intestine or some kind of piercing that causes an internal, you know, toxic leak into the internal system that will kill the animal. But they don't eat so much that they say, oh my God, I'm going to die because nothing ruptures. They just regurgitate it. That has happened quite often where a snake will try to eat something that's just a little too big and all of a sudden has this massive regurgitation and the animal comes out whole. Understand, snakes don't chew their food. The skull of a snake is really independent jaws. There's independent lines of teeth on the top of the mouth, and they all work independently like little hands pulling in the prey species little by little, and they always eat it head first. You will watch a snake when it eats. It positions itself to look for the snout, the mouth of the prey item, and it eats head first because they know then the arms can slide back and go right against the body, and they can swallow it that way. If they try to swallow tail first, they're never successful.
Ron, I'm going to read you a headline here. Mountain lion that killed man and injured his brother is euthanized in California. Do you agree with or disagree with the idea of almost automatically euthanizing wild animals that harm or kill people?
Well, Greg, this is going to be hard for me to say and probably hard for other people to understand. But at the end of the day, we can never, ever put the priority of an animal life against that of a human life. Unfortunately, this cat has demonstrated that it will go after human beings, and unless they can find some kind of sanctuary for it or something like that, unfortunately, I agree with the euthanasia because there are people in those mountains that hike, that jog. We have a cat that has now demonstrated it can do this. I feel terrible that it happened, but at the end of the day, this cat, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. This cat has gotten a taste of something that could pose a potential danger to human beings, and we have a responsibility to protect people. So I don't believe in the automatic, oh my gosh, you know, we got, you know, the thing I worry about is like sometimes there's alligator encounters and they say, oh no, we got to kill all the alligators now. And they kill a bunch of alligators trying to think they're going to get the one that made the attack. I think that's wrong. But if they can prove that you have this one animal and they can know it's that animal that has done this, I do believe that animal has to be removed from the environment. Again, it's not fair to the animal, but we can never prioritize an animal's life in front of a human's life. That's just not the right thing.
But what if this animal tasted human blood and flesh and then said, you know what? I don't like the taste of this. I'm never going to do it again.
And that's a great point, Billy, because that's usually what happens with many of these alligator attacks. They really are alligator encounters. Like I say, the same thing with sharks, okay? They bite. They come after instinct. You hear something splashing in the water. They think it may be a raccoon. They think it may be a fish. They may be a possum. And they bite into it, and they realize this is not what I thought. And that's why so many people, when you have shark bites, get out of the water with just that. Because I can promise you, if that shark was headstrong on killing and eating that person would never have gotten out of the water. Same thing with a lot of alligators. And a lot of times, that people find people dead in the water from alligators because they've been drowned, not because they've been eaten. Even though there are exceptions. I understand there are exceptions. We've had alligators that have consumed human beings. Those alligators need to get out of the system.
Ron, good seeing you. Always nice seeing you. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Don Lebatard.
It's been a lovely cruise. Oh, man. That's my outro. That's, you know, as my casket is being lowered.
Jesus.
You know, I'll have been cremated a week before, but we'll do the casket thing just for show. And as my casket is being lowered.
Wait a minute. Empty casket?
It'll be empty, you know. Just for show, we're going to
Well, what's
do that.
The redundancy there?
You know, I mean, we're going to put on a public display.
Yeah, naturally. You
know. Stugatz.
What do you do with the ashes?
You're going on a lovely cruise.
Exactly. Maybe we'll throw him over. My wife will throw him overboard.
I would
assume.
She's
necking with her new husband.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I know that a lot of people at this point make fun of Madonna for whatever their reasons are for making fun of Madonna at 65 years old, touring the country still as Madonna. And I've told you before that I really respect and can't believe how many different times over how many different decades this woman has been able to reinvent herself, so much so that at about Greg Cody's age, she's selling out the basketball arena across the street in Miami for four straight nights. There are not a lot of acts in the history of music. I'm not talking about groups, individuals that can go and do that at any age, never mind 65. Now you've got with Taylor Swift and a lot of what's happening in hip hop, you can have a single name go and do that in that arena. But a 65-year-old traveling the world, not by herself, but as the premier act. Not only is she a gay community icon, because that's part of her popularity in Miami, is at a time that it was a lot harder to be that in the 80s and 90s. She was somebody that the gay community remembers as a very strong advocate when it was difficult. But to continue musically growing Stugatz in a way that makes four straight sellout shows in our city where that can be difficult, as, I'm going to give you a comp here, J-Lo, who's a monster talent, monster superstar, monster popularity, has to rename her tour because it's selling tickets so poorly. And I'm not indicting J-Lo at all. The only reason I'm comparing them, it's not even because they're women. It's just because the star power of an individual making their way around the country, being able to sell out an arena four times, is crazy. It's hard. If you tell me U2, Rolling Stones, I understand legacy bands, but an individual being able to do this, I don't want this to go by Miami without us talking about how amazing an accomplishment it is. I'm going to say maybe Cher. I don't even know who the men would be who could actually do this by themselves, where it's a single name outside of hip hop. Yeah, but he's got a band. He's got
Billy Joel.
Hold on, it's an E Street band.
And then Larry David might give him COVID.
Yeah. But Dan, I'm not surprised only from this standpoint. I understand what it is you're saying. 65 years old, individual act, selling out four straight nights at the Heat Arena. But she is Billy Joel. She's turning into Elton John. She'll be able to do this well into her 70s if she wants to.
It was also a greatest hits tour and marketed as such. She's coming off of tours where she's had to pare down on venues and also dealt with her own. Madonna has also dealt with her own struggles in selling tickets. She went for a more intimate tour previously. Now, some artists just decide to do that when they could just as well sell an arena. I think this four-day stretch kind of proved that. But the appeal for this Madonna tour was literally spanning her career, and it's not something that it's basically templated. She was taking hints from other people that have done this, struggled to sell tours because they weren't billed as greatest hits, and J-Lo just took a page out of Madonna's book.
I think there's a great double standard in terms of aging pop stars and rock stars that works against women. Nobody focuses on the age of Mick Jagger when he's still fronting the Rolling Stones, or Paul McCartney still doing his thing.
He's 80, and I'm amazed that Mick Jagger's still moving around that way at 80. But I'm very much focused on his age when I'm worried he's going to break a hip up there in the 90th minute of a show and can't believe the amount of energy he's showing.
But with Madonna, though, that seems to be way too much the focus, you know, whether it's the cosmetic surgery that she has had, or whether she takes a little bit of a stumble and all of a sudden that's a viral video. I think the world of Madonna, I love what she's still doing, but I'm saying that we don't allow female artists to age gracefully the way we do men. And Taylor Swift, 30 years from now, is she going to be allowed to still be who she is? Or are we going to say, okay, give it up, Taylor?
You're not wrong, but I still do want to simply celebrate the fact that I don't know a lot of artists individually at any time in the history of music that could come to our city and sell out that place four nights in a row.
Mark Anthony does it whenever he needs money.
Yes. There are Latin artists that can do it.
Bad Bunny could do it.
Bad Bunny, I was thinking of.
He did have to cancel a concert in Minnesota, though, because I guess the Bad Bunny market in Minnesota wasn't hot right now.
I think you'd have a hard time naming 10 people ever who could do it by themselves at 65 years old.
At 65 years old, I'd have a hard time saying people that have been active for that long touring arenas. But contemporary artists, I know Harry Styles did like 30 straight days at MSG. It's not easy to sell out MSG, but given that it is a marquee city, you get people from in all over the world to go see Harry Styles do this residency.
Billy Joel is still selling out MSG. Multiple nights.
Once a month.
The thing that I keep hearing about the Madonna show is just that it's a great show, though. And I think that it speaks to a lot of what Greg is saying is true, that there is a double standard. I don't think you could really argue that aging women get treated differently than aging men in any industry. But I think if you put on a really good show, like, you're going to get people to come and see it. And so I think a lot of the criticisms that some artists get is that they're just doing a cash grab and they're not really putting like the artistry into the show. And that's why maybe their ticket sales are suffering. But I think as far as this Madonna tour goes, like, everyone I know that's seen it has said it's been really good.
But you mentioned the falling. I'll watch anyone fall. I don't discriminate when it comes to falling. Man, woman, young, old. I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
We did say it's one of the things that is always funny.
Getting punched in the nuts.
Somebody
and falling.
Always funny.
Somebody falling.
A well-timed
down.
Fart.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. What's funnier, somebody falling down or a well-timed fart?
65-year-old farting, though, is a dangerous game.
How about a 65-year-old farting to the point that it causes them to fall?
65-year-olds falling, also dangerous.
And the fall could cause a fart.
Not well timed enough. When I was little, there were two videos that my sister and I used to watch all the time on YouTube. One of them was
he can't make it stop. He doesn't know how to make
just like a 65
I'm expensing that.
He doesn't know how to make the did you just say I'm expensing that?
Expensive app.
His way of stopping it was
$19.99 a month.
Stop. They charge for the fart app?
Yeah.
$19.99 a month?
I'm making that up.
Okay. Thank God you're making that up.
The two videos were one was the crushing the grape lady, crushing the grapes with her feet, and then she falls, and she's like, rrr, rrr, that one. And the other one was a video of Kelsey Grammer just falling on his face. And I don't know if you guys know that one. Underrated YouTube video.
You would place the Kelsey Grammer video, because the grape lady video is something that over time is one of the most historic sounds and videos in the history of our show. We will have Chris Cody search grape
with grapes.
Okay, you have a portion of it, or you
they're,
have the
they're
whole
working
thing?
On it.
Okay, but they played a portion of it for some reason. They're working on it, but they played one sentence of it for me, the uninteresting sentence and the not funny sentence.
Just a little tease.
Yeah.
All right, just a little something for you to savor. You think the Kelsey Grammer video is as funny as the Grape Lady video?
I'm going to have to say Grape Lady is definitely the better video, but I think the Kelsey Grammer one is sneaky really good.
All right. I would say video, you need to hear the audio on this. It's funnier with the audio. Yes, play the audio, please.
International foods, having wine tours and tastings, vineyard tours, seminars, arts and crafts. It's a lot of fun, a whole day.
Stop. Oh, I can't breathe. Stop.
Holds up.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I just Googled it, and there's a Reddit post from 12 years ago that says, today I learned the grape lady that fell, broke several ribs, and was so embarrassed she now stays out of the spotlight.
I think it's safe for her to come out.
Seriously. Sullivan, let's get her.
It did sound like she broke several ribs. That didn't sound simply losing your breath and being unable to breathe.
If she got on TikTok now or on Cameo, oh my God, she'd be so successful. Because all the kids that don't know about this video that weren't the YouTube watching generation, if this went viral on TikTok, they'd bring her back.
Cameo dried up a little.
I heard that as a woman faking pain. I didn't think that sounded real. I really didn't, you know.
It was not fake. It was in no way fake. Yeah.
You can spot a woman faking it?
Sounded fake. Yes, I can, Jess.
Expert.
I've been married 40 years.
Please go on.
No, you know.
This was a real laugh, by the way.
I'm a man of brevity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said. Go on. Continue with your program.
The Florida Panthers
nice transition.
Gave a little bit of renewed hope to their worried fan base by dragging Ottawa, the big rivalry that they have with the Ottawa Senators. They dragged Ottawa by scoring 5 goals in the first couple of periods and allowing none. Mike, your level of concern that the Boston Bruins over the course of the last part of the season have made up the ground that there was to make up.
I think the larger concern, Mike, is the Rangers.
Well,
right?
But they also beat the Rangers in this recent run. They went to New York and beat the Rangers.
They did, and then they struggled, and they went to New York, and even though they lost in overtime, they played well. And on Saturday, there was a big hockey game with the Panthers and the Bruins. Panthers were playing Panther hockey, but also ultimately succumbed to the Boston Bruins. Once again, an overtime loss against a marquee team. Boston's been really impressive down this recent run, winning at Carolina. They got Carolina once again today. It seems as though with that win over Florida, they have the Catlantic all locked up, and it'll be the Atlantic. But the playoffs in that sport have been going on basically for a month and a half at this point. Every night there's a marquee matchup. Again, it happens. It's a really cool moment in time for that sport. And it's also kind of spearheaded by some legendary names that maybe some people haven't been talking about. What Sidney Crosby's done since the Pittsburgh Penguins announced themselves as sellers at the deadline is nothing short of amazing. He's had just his third 40-goal season. He is dragging this team across the line. There are four teams alive in that division and only two playoff spots. They're just trading points. It's going to go right down to the wire. You have Crosby and Ovechkin once again going at one another like old gladiators, but only this time instead of the top of the conference, they're fighting for just a shot at the cup one last time. And for Ovechkin in particular, who actually can catch Wayne Gretzky, the way that he looks right now, leaning into his age, it's particularly humorous, but also really, really cool. If you were a fan of hockey throughout the last 15 years, this is like when I was in college, these guys were going at one another. To see Crosby and Ovechkin playing at this level, it's a gift every night. Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite, less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.